sa stupeur, preuve de salvation, de marche, et de combat pour le peuple, d'avoir tout ce qui est bon, et de se préparer pour le faire de la vie, et de poser le prêt, et de se préparer pour le faire de la vie. There are several persons in the Bible that are wonderful to read about, to study about, to consider, and their spiritual strength or self-acceptance. We began to put ourselves into their situation and wonder, will I ever be that faithful? Certain persons, because of the way that the revelation of Scripture offers us, they balance you between power and strength, and the men and women that they became, but also their weakness. Or even Barnabas, who the Bible describes as son of encouragement, son of faith. Now, just that stuff is what he goes away to do. He gets caught up in the hypocrisy of his life. Pulling away from his house and defeating his family when the duty asks him to put the question. And it's sad in one way, as it is to read about that, also is very relatable. I read about people's struggles and they think I become stronger, very encouraging, but about my own life, I can think of many a time when this somebody has been stuck in the self-core of what I was doing. Or maybe Barnabas, the son of encouragement, who just falls in this situation, the difference with the difference you would have to make, who all the stuff that they have. I think there are men like Abraham and the truth is, the Bible reveals to us this journey of faith. We think about the men that they sit off of the group who read the scripture. We see them almost without weakness. Think about Paul. There's no doubt that Paul faced his own weaknesses even in the scripture. He said to them, I just played a very special role. We were just about the Messiah, that is your deep heart. It's a beautiful thing. And I want you to think about something with me. If you were to get a mock-up of this kind of thing, and then read the question that you said, Paul recognizes the gospel. Because the goal was more to be the teacher of the church. And not only does he decide, that there was a man by the name of Jesus. And the apostles got really agitated. And they basically got the Egyptians. And they were originally the first brother of the apostles. And then the Jews went, they know that, so the question was still over time. And eventually there's a thing about the middle of the country. But in the early days, the first mission came up, and it's up to Jesus. Can you imagine if you're in the church of Rome, and all those things have been gone, you're at this house, and let's get that sin. And now Paul is trying to get them to see that with all the participants are all Christians. So the theme, I believe, really is unity, but the way he goes about this is to say, listen, we were all sinners. We're brothers and sisters. We're all sinners. And the Gentile is not a second class citizen. Whether you're a Jew or you're a Gentile, which would be like the law of Moses, and you might have been under the law of Moses. Whatever it is, you need Jesus, and you stand against God's commandments, and God's truth, and God's standards. So the key part here, because all those things are so true, nobody has the right to get this against the soul of anybody. God's presence, all that stuff. And then, the only thing to do is Jesus. And it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile. Is it good that you had the Lord with this God? Yes, but some of those Gentiles turn better at keeping what God was doing, even though they were dead, and not find law like you have. They were never written down like you have. And we've all fallen short of God. The sinner's brother's don't believe you. And that gives us to what we're trying to do. And he's talking about Abraham, and here he's going to throw all of our two things to Abraham and Rachel. And he's going to say, you need to be forgiven. And Father Abraham, when you say you're the children of, he had to be forgiven. So this is a pretty hard thing to run into. All of this gets from that reality that's forbidden for us, not that kind of thing. Romans 3:27. Where there is boasting, it is excluded by what kind of law of works, no, but by law of faith. He's talking about two systems, but this is critical because we have a lot of faith in Romans 4. That's the question. When they see works, they see that it's anything God has asked. That's not what Paul says. And when they say things, they just think they don't. And that's not what Paul never says. That's not what Paul never says. That's not what Paul never says. is this the Lord? Yes. We're not sinless. Therefore, it's the law of faith. He's talking about the gospel. Look at Romans chapter 4 and verse 1. What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, told you to bless the son? For if Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about without before God. He was glad that he would have something to boast about. But he didn't boast before God because he was. Abraham had to be forgiven. Verse 3, which is going to be crucial in our lesson tonight. Verse 3 says, for what does Scripture say? This is what it says. Abraham believed God, said it was blessed. Now, the one who works is waiting for that to be safer, but it wasn't easy. But to the one who does not work, that is, to the man who has sinned against God, he's not sinless, but believes that God who does not work God, his faith is credited as righteousness. Just as David also says, the blessing of the man who is not credited righteousness, but from work, he's not saying for the right to the possible peace. He's not saying we're credited as being right before God without obedience, because in Romans 6:16 he says we obey in righteousness. So he knows if we're not going to be to God, he says God's word places us to the good sinless. He doesn't set all the standard on the word of God. The first person, yes, then, he knows that the first person, he knows that the first person, he David had to be saved. Here's where it's very interesting. Look at verse 2. Is this blessing? Is this blessing? What blessing? The blessing of forgiveness. Being on the circumcised or on the uncircumcised also? Or we say faith which credited the faith. Was yet circumcised. While he was circumcised, not one circumcised, not one circumcised. But this, there was not this. Verse 11. And he, I'm going to with reference to several things, what Christ is doing is the good of God. In the last Genesis 15, number 6, but when I read Hebrews 11, it is talking about him by faith, and even the last Genesis 15, number 6, talks about him by faith doing what he did, and it takes us back to the religion. Then, in order to forward from just bread, Paul, when he talks about his not wavering, is referencing Genesis 21. When he believed the promise of God, so remember, in a spirit, both had to die, didn't they? And they had to work through those. But what Paul is referencing when he says he should waver at the promise of God is, I believe, around Genesis 21. But it gets even more. When we read James, which is just doing another, when we read James, knowing Jesus, Genesis 15, and says it was fulfilled in Genesis 22, when he took Titus and in his heart was ready to offer to the God of the Living. So here's what I want you to see. This thing, when he believed the Lord, and it's attached to him for righteousness, it's not faith only, it's not belief only, it is a surrender to God and the entire spiritual life. That statement was applied to Abraham at the beginning, it was applied in his walking journey, it was applied even in his history. What does that tell us about faith? Faith is not just a step, faith is a journey in life. It's not about being never false, it's about me giving back up and serving God and learning. And I think to myself, what have I learned from? That's faith. Faith is not just getting a book out there and saying, what you believe is important. I'm not minimizing that. But it's not just a matter of going down the list. It's that faith being internalized and me serving God with all of my heart and knowing that He'll forgive me when I'm wrong. Abraham was a man that believed the Lord. Now, let's look at Genesis chapter 12. Abraham did not waver, Paul says. Well, what about Genesis chapter 12? To be fair, and to be transparent, here's what that's just about. Can you prove that Abraham and Sarah, the way they were going to have to travel, yes. So he said, you're a beautiful brother, and the Egyptians are going to send you, and so this is what they were fearful, but they were left to live. So he said, it's going to be a thank you. who live in our world, man, seriously, and then it's the thing that we're trying to do, and we're trying to fulfill God's promise to our people, to fulfill it, which causes this all to be closer. I was willing to sacrifice, come to Genesis chapter 16, come to Genesis 16, verse 8, and there I said to Abraham, and behold, the Lord is prepared with his children, please go into the same, and for our father will send children through her, and make a blessing for her. Let me tell you something. When it started out, this was something rare about us. What did you say, Abraham? Thank you. I'm the same victim. And you're going to walk around with that comes off. redeemed and said, oh, we know Jesus, we know, but you, we don't. They know Jesus, but what they just don't believe in, he said all of it. Not only am I probably dressed for my right, I'm dressed up on the seat of my car, but I'm just going to call it down and forth on this place to the first. Verse 22. You see that faith was working with his work, and as a result of the work, faith was accepted. You want to see the faith and the fruition of it, and the fullness of it, and what it is in its profile. He said, let's look at Abraham. But then we see the put on and submission issues. We're obedient. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God, received in a man of step by the work of God. Look at verse 23. What scripture is it that he says was fulfilled when we look at Genesis 22? Genesis 15:6. But what is it that we see Genesis 15:6 at the beginning? We see several moments in Genesis 15:6 to provide the other section of the text that we come to Genesis 15:6. And he says this statement that the Lord made about it. And he believed in the Lord, and it was given to him right, and he called the friend of God. He said, look at what James said. He said, in the scripture, this Genesis 15:6, was fulfilled with God, and Abraham believed God, and it was working in his life, and he was called the friend of God. What is he saying to us? This is it, right here. Why does Romans 4:3 reference Genesis 15:6? Why does Romans 4:16-21 take it to Genesis 21, down the reference to why does James say Genesis 15:6 and apply it to Genesis 22? And which one is it? It was entire life, ladies and gentlemen. So what does that say to us tonight? You can get over to and it's tomorrow when you get up and you're living for the Lord that will help you to understand what it means to be a believer. What it means to be here it is, that to believe the Lord means you're going to miss some stuff. You're going to miss some bad work. But you're going to repent. You're going to go for the God of mercy and ask Him for His forgiveness. You're going to get back up. You're going to get resolved and determination. But even if you're in a